Right, now thinking about Greenham, when you first went, you said you didn't stay over, you just visited.
No, I never stayed because I had small children, and I know some people did leave their children at home and live at Greenham, but that wasn't really for me.
Did many of them stay there permanently for a long time, or do you think people came and went like you did?
Well, some people stayed for years and years, and some people came and went. Some people stayed over a couple of nights maybe, and it varied depending on what people's the time people had and the passion they had.
Did you go to any particular gate, or did you just...
I went around the gates because when I first the first time I went to the it may have been the second time. My son was 5 months old, and he was born in 1982, so it was 1982 because I took him on my back, and we did an Embracing the Base thing. It was one of the yearly celebrations that took place in the autumn most years, and I always went along to those. And yes, as I say, one year I took my little son. And I would go to things like that to start with, and then I got more interested in it, and although I didn't feel I could stay because of my little children, I did go. I belonged to a peace group. I lived in Gloucestershire then, and I belonged to a peace group, and the peace group collected food, as we would these days for food banks. We do that these days, don't we? But in those days, our group did it for the Greenham Common Women, and I would go about once a month and deliver food. And I would go around the gates and visit various gates, and it depended what was happening at which gate as to which one I would finally stay at.
Did you find much difference between the gates? Because some people said there were different sort of elements.
There's a different slant on it, yes, on the different gates. I think there was like a New Age gate and a more activist type gate and so on. There was quite a punky gate at one time as well. People had lovely coloured hair and so on. But I can't. It's so long ago. I actually can't remember the character of each gate. But I seem to remember staying at Green Gate quite a bit. But I can't remember why.
Perhaps it was fitted in with you. Made you go to Greenham in the beginning? Because you belonged to a peace.
Yes. Well,
anyway.
I've been passionate about. Well, certainly anti-nuclear. I was a member of CND and did quite a lot of the Aldermaston marches and things then. Do that with the whole family. But this, because it was a women's thing, my husband at the time was very supportive, and he had the little ones, apart from the time when Sam was too young to leave because I was still breastfeeding him, so I had to bring him along.
Yeah,
and that was the autumn of 92. 82. The autumn of 82. So the first time I went, I was just fired by the bravery of the women. I mean, they were just incredible. They had to put up with so much. I mean, I experienced some guys stopping a car and throwing a bucket of urine at them and yelling abuse. There was a lot of abuse yelled out of open windows of cars.
Do you think it was mainly because they were women, or do you think it was...
I think a lot of it was to do with the fact that women were taking things into their own hands, which is a lot of men feel very threatened by that, or did in those days. I mean, obviously it's probably easier now with women in politics and women in business and so on, but in those days it was quite new for women to be taking the lead, yes.
What do you think May decided for it to become a women-only camp? Was it a conscious decision, or did it evolve?
Well, I think it. There was a group from Wales that turned up, a women's group that turned up, and they... I don't think it was exclusively women to start with.
No,
the
we've
men
heard that.
Dropped back because they felt that it should be, a women's thing. And actually, the year I went with my baby, the men were running a creche. I mean, there's a story. Do you want me to tell you the story about that?
Yes, go on.
I went into the creche tent to sit down to feed Sam, to breastfeed Sam, my son, and there was a baby in there that wouldn't stop crying. It was only tiny, it was only a few weeks old, and the mum had dropped it at the creche first thing in the morning and hadn't been back, and this was gone lunchtime when I was in there, and the men were in a terrible state, not knowing what to do. They were walking up and down this baby, but it wouldn't settle. They tried a bottle, but that didn't work. So I thought, oh, maybe it's a breastfed baby.
Yes,
so,
yes, they don't.
So
like
I said,
the
come on, give her to me, I'll feed her. And I did, and she took to the breast with me very easily. She's obviously a breastfed baby. So she settled down then and went to sleep after I'd fed her. So I still had a bit left after I'd fed Sam. So
I bet they were relieved.
Yes, they were. I think they were. But after that, I don't remember men at all. So whether... But then after that, I left Sam at home, so I didn't have much to do with whether the crowd didn't need the creche, so I didn't know whether there was a creche or not.
I wonder how long they kept it going.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Did you feel that the non-violent action was a good way of... A peaceful protest was a good way of protest?
Yes, it was my way. I you know, and if anything did get too... violent, and in some, no, I don't mean at Greenham Common necessarily, but other demonstrations, I always sort of step back into the trees and don't have anything to do with that, because I do feel that you can have civil disobedience without having violence. So yes, I used to sit down in the road at Greenham Common, but I wouldn't have. I mean, there's a lot of women cut the fences open and went in.
Yes,
and
they did.
There was a lot of women when I was there just got back. Well, I don't think all of them got back, but some of them were arrested. But they'd broken into the actual planes and sprayed the inside of the planes pink, yeah. So with pink paint. So that was an interesting one that I...
How did the military treat you when you were there?
Almost ignoring. You know, I've tried to start conversations, but they wouldn't... You know, they were very... they stood especially at the big... demonstrations, they would stand at the fence, but they'd have their back to you usually, so you didn't sort of.
And they wouldn't engage with you at all.
And sometimes they used police women on the outside of the fence. There were some police women sometimes in a row, but obviously not enough to go all the way around.
Oh, no. Did they engage with you?
No, they were all trained not to. And I think in those days and these days, you know, I don't know, police are probably a bit more humane, I'm not sure. But in those days, they were told not to. I think there were. There were relationships between some of the women and the soldiers. I know some of the women who were there regularly, and I don't just mean the people that were brought in as extras to guard the fence, but the usual people who were on the gates. Some of them were friendly with the women, I think. Yeah, they would talk. But I never experienced that.
I suppose you had to be there all the time, really,
to get to know people.
Were the police in general aggressive with you, or were they all right?
No, I didn't experience any aggression. No, but then as I say, if there was anything going on that was too active, I tended to step back because I couldn't be arrested with having babies at home. I didn't want to.
How do you think the local people round the local residents felt towards the camp?
Oh, it was very mixed. There were some people, I imagine they were the more right-wing people, were very against it, and there were committees for trying to get rid of the Greenham women. Mm. But then there was some locals who stopped and dropped off a bit of food every now and then. So it varied depending on people's, I think, what people's political persuasion was and what they felt about nuclear.
Yeah, and even, yeah, just feeling power. What they felt about nuclear power, really.
Yes, yeah.
So they got plenty of food coming in. Sorry, Christine.
Not always. They were a bit short sometimes, but because when I went, I was taking food. But I think, on the whole, they did... manage.
Yeah, we've talked to some people who had a van. They used to collect food and go around on a regular basis.
Yes, that's what I did about once a month. Yeah. I'd drive down from Gloucestershire.
Yes, that's good.
But I remember one time I went, one of the men in my peace group had a real good harvest of carrots, and he gave me a whole sack of homegrown carrots. And I took it to the gate and they said, oh, we can't have all those because the bailiffs are around and they're I always forget that word. When you're... Oh, God, what's the word? Words are going from me now. when you chuck somebody out, when the bailiffs... They came round...
Evict,
yes, that's right. They were quite regularly evicted at that point.
Oh,
when I
right.
came. I can't tell you what year it was. I came for quite a lot of years, but It was in the middle of my, so it would probably be around about 84, but I can't swear to that. They were evicted quite regularly, and it was a sort of way of trying to shift them, because they would come with dustbin lorries, and the bailiffs would be there, and they'd read the Riot Act and say, you know, you have to go. And they would, anything that the women couldn't pick up and carry, they would take and put in the dustbin. It'd be crunched up in the dustbin.
So a big bag of carrots would have been in there.
Yeah, so that's why they said at that point take them round to, you know, a few at each gate, which is what I did. I went round with the carrots.
Okay.
But this eviction was quite scary, and I was, the men were not supposed to, what the women were doing at that point, they'd got prams, and if they wanted to keep anything that they could put in the pram, in theory, they could keep. They would walk off with the things in their pram, and that would be not something that the bailiffs could touch. But I have seen things grabbed out of prams and thrown onto the rubbish.
Gosh.
Yeah, into the rubbish. So yeah, lots. Also the benders that they made, you know, the shelters that were with hazel saplings and things that were bent over with a tarp over the top. The tarps were ripped off and thrown away, and so because that it was difficult for the women to get at those. Undo all that quickly when the bailiffs arrived, because they never knew when the bailiffs were coming.
Well, no.
So they often got torn off and thrown, and so they'd have to start again with new tarpaulins and things.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So it's constant replenishing the.
Yes, they had. Yes, they could literally just have. But because I took my transit van, I had was running a business at the time, and I had a van. I used to say, come and put stuff in the van, you know, so they'd throw the stuff in the van, except some women used to say, no, we shouldn't do that, because that's not us dealing with, you know, I know as soon as you arrive at Greenham, you're thought of as a Greenham woman, but
yes.
I was a visitor, really. I was only there dropping off food. So some people thought it wasn't right that I should fill my van with things, that they should face the men and...
God, that
you
was,
know, yeah,
was
they,
dedicated then.
Yeah, they
it?
Were very dedicated, yeah. Some of those women, yes.
How did the children get on that were in the camp? Did they get educated, or were they too young?
Do you know, I know nothing about, I never saw any children.
Somebody else said they didn't see children.
I saw them in the yearly get-togethers, the celebrations, but not at the
not
normal.
Not living there?
No, I never saw any children there.
Gosh.
Yeah. I think some women had actually left their children and husbands to go and live at Greenham. Yeah, and it was a kind of protest, and they were taking on the role of being a mother, not particularly looking after their own children, but making a statement about, I'm thinking about all the children that are going to follow on from me.
Yes.
You know, on after my time. And I'm speaking out for them and want to protect them. So it was a very brave and very difficult, I'm sure, very difficult thing to do. I mean,
do you think that legacy has carried on to the next few generations?
I don't know, really. I'm trying to think. I mean, things have changed. The world is so different now, isn't it? That I think we protest in different ways very often these days. Although I think there are still some protest camps going on around the country, but...
And some children protesting at the moment,
yes, and of course children are taking it into their own hands now.
Which is good.
And the children are saying, no, we've had enough. Your generation is wrecking things for us. And I'm just so excited by that.
Yes,
so,
I was as well.
Yeah,
it's coming to life and protesting.
And a lot of those women, a lot of those children have got grannies who were from my generation. And, you know, I talk to my grandchildren and children, and my children have passed on the legacy because they go to protests and still go to climate change protests and things now. So, and taking the children. So they, you know, it's been passed on. Yes. Yeah.
So you feel being a peace activist has permeated all through your life?
I think it has. Yes, I think if we hadn't been doing that at Greenham Common, there wouldn't be so many children as aware. Maybe I'm being a bit arrogant there, but, you know, it's the way we've brought our children up and talked to them from when they were very little about these issues.
You're obviously quite an artistic person. I wondered, was there a lot of art going on in the camp that you knew of?
Do you know, I'm going to have to block you on that one because
I
can't think of it. Well, apart from the decorating of the fences, of course, there was lots of that going on, lots of... spiders' webs being woven with wool. We always took wool along when we went to these yearly, I call them celebrations, I don't know what other people call them, but anyway, we would always, you know, the spider's web was the symbol for Greenham, you know, which was kind of breakable but strong.
Yes.
It's a kind of symbol of...
So do you think that is the artistic symbol of the camp,
Definitely, yes, I think so. And they were woven, and also there were lots of lovely things. People had made hangings and brought them along and hung them in the trees and so on. So yes, there was that. I thought you meant like a workshop with all the stuff.
No,
I meant people were decorating the fences. I mean, that was another very powerful symbol, to take this very male symbol of aggression, you know, pointing these awful cruise missiles at Russia.
Yes.
It was just, and all the rip wire and the barbed wire and the fences that kept everybody out. For women to come along and decorate it was a, I think, a very powerful symbol.
Yes, I think you're right. And what about the decision making in the camp? Was it very much a collective decision making, or was there somebody in charge?
I don't know. I know that sounds, but because I never stayed, I felt a little bit like a visitor a lot of the time, although I know I wasn't really. But I wasn't in on any of that stuff really.
No,
I can't tell you anything about that.
And what about the way the camp was portrayed by the media? Do you feel that was...
Again, it was mixed, and it depends what you read, you know, which papers you read or which, you know, journals and so on. Some people very supportive and showing supportive photographs of the women looking strong and so on. And then there'd be other places that would, you know, other papers that would call them trash and, you know, wrecking the beautiful Berkshire countryside and so on, was in fact the women were trying to claim it back. It was a common after all.
Well, yes.
You know, and the whole idea of a common is that it's for everyone to share.
Do you think the politics of the people was represented by the way they either criticised or applauded?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, it tends to go along, doesn't it, with your ideas.
Yes.
Your politics and your ideas about peace and nuclear disarmament and so on.
How did you feel about the camp once you'd left it? Did you still carry on visiting it all the way through its time there, or?
No, not for the whole time, because my marriage broke up and I didn't have the support at home that I had got before, so I couldn't visit, and I had to get down and get on with making a living.
Well, yes, that's
my own.
True.
So I didn't have the spare time. I went back to teaching. I used to teach at one time, and then I ran a business for 13 years, which gave me the freedom to come and go to Greenham, but that had to finish and I had to go back into teaching. So
yes.
No, I didn't really have the time anymore.
What did you teach?
Oh, everything. every age and everything, more or less.
Which is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why do you think the suffragette movement is more remembered than Greenham? Or do you think it is?
Oh, that might just be to do with time. I don't know. Maybe the suffragettes have got the advantage of us looking back at it as history, and maybe Greenham Common so far hasn't been seen as history, but you guys are...
You think,
you know,
it's
hoping
too
to do something
yes,
about that.
Yes, you think
that,
it's too close.
Yeah, possibly too close, yes. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was something to do with... There was more class distinction in those days, wasn't there? And an awful lot of the suffragette people were from... Well, I don't know, maybe it's just the ones you hear about, but they were from more aristocratic families, which made it shocking...
And more memorable.
And more memorable, probably, yes. In a different way from the ordinary...
Well, you think Greenham were just
ordinary
women?
It was
ordinary
women who were just coming along quietly and doing their thing, yeah.
Because it started off with the march with the Welsh, didn't it?
Yes, the Welsh, the women that came from Wales, they started it off and stayed. Yes, and then more and more people joined them.
Did you carry on with the peace movements that you were in after Greenock?
Yes. Oh, yes, for a long time. I was lived quite near to one of the air bases that the bombers went from. I don't know if we can do something about it. I don't think it'll happen again. When there was the Iraqi bombing, I was quite near to the airbase that the bombers went from, and that was quite a long time after. And
yes.
We went along as a family and protested against that at the airbase there. And then, but gradually over time, I think I am protesting, but I'm doing it in a different way now. I think I'm very involved in the transition movement and trying to make towns or communities, looking at the communities that we live in, because I think that's the way to go now, is to actually start from your own community and work out. And there's a lot of issues that we're looking at in our group, particularly things like single-use plastic, those kind of things, but also we are planting lots of food trees, so nut and fruit trees around the area in like a sort of scattered orchard form, so that people have got resilience in the future. There'll be fruit, at least there'll be fruit and nut trees around if there's nothing else. So we're trying to encourage people to in the community to join in, and we've got, I don't know if you know about the incredible edible movement, where people are ripping out the prickly bushes outside the local dentist and putting in things to eat. We're doing the same all around our library and various shopping centres in town, and we're trying to make it educational in that we're writing chalkboards to say what's happening in this garden, this is the time when, blah 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 blah, and we can hear parents showing the children and saying, look, this is what's happening now, and they're reading from the board, and we hope we're making a difference, so people are, children are understanding where food comes from and that it grows from the ground and isn't just from supermarkets and so on. So I think we're still, and we're tackling pollution in the area and litter picking, we're doing all sorts of things, and I'm very busy with that.
So it's an extension of the peaceful.
It is. It is.
Towards something else.
Yes, towards my community where I live. And I think more and more people are doing that now, and that it's spreading in little centres. It's spreading out. And more and more people
are becoming aware. Because it does spread into the rest of the world, doesn't it? Because it relates to climate control.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And all that.
Yeah.
Do you think some of the women there, do you think they came to escape any abuse or violence at home? Do you think it was a way of them escaping, or do you think they...
Again, I don't really know. I mean, I certainly... I didn't really have long, deep conversations with the women who lived there. The only thing that I did was aware of was the... electronic zapping that was happening to them towards the end.
Gosh.
They were getting actually, there was something happening. I don't understand it, I don't understand the science of it, but they had some dials which were measuring the electronic, I don't know if it was microwaves or quite what it was, that were definitely being directed towards them. The further away from the camp you went.
Was this coming from the camp?
Yes, it was definitely coming, because the women were totally different. They were wiped out. They
really?
They could hardly speak to you. They were flopping everywhere. Couldn't hold a conversation, whereas before it was, singing and various things going on, or talks about what had happened the night before or whatever, but towards the end they could hardly raise an eye to look at you.
And
when I say towards the end, I mean the time that I was there, and I don't know, it may have just been a thing that happened for a little while and then stopped. I don't know, and I just happened to witness it, but I did see
Did they recover quickly, or was it a permanent thing?
Well, I don't know. I left them there, and I don't know quite how they were and whether they recovered. I really don't know.
Gosh.
It was just something that I saw one time when I went. And it was quite a different atmosphere there. The resilience had gone. They were feeling quite hopeless.
It couldn't have been a permanent thing then, could it? If you left, what, you left in 80 1966, did you say?
Yeah, I think it must have been about then, yes. Yeah.
Because they carried on protesting didn't they?
It carried on. So I don't know whether it was just something that they tried for a while.
That's terrible, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Quietening the women down.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that... big thing that you would think has affected you from Greenham and is representative of Greenham from now on, what would you think it would be?
I think it's the example that the women who were there all the time set about determination and being determined to make that difference and provide that contrast with what was going on in the base and around the base. I think that's affected me, and I have actually felt, right, if they can do that, we can do anything. And I think it's affected me in my transition movement work, that you just carry on.
Yes.
Feeling of, I mean, there was the song about it, it goes on and on and
yes.
on, isn't there? I can't remember the tune now, but and that's how I feel. I've just never stopped doing something somewhere to help or change the world.
And the peaceful part of it, contrast to the aggression,
yes,
was important.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Gosh. And obviously, you're carrying on as well now, aren't you? Was there a lot of music that went on?
A lot of
music.
Yeah, the people had instruments, the guitars mostly, at the gates, and there'd be quite a lot of singing going on. Certainly, and in the big gatherings, certainly there were groups of musicians that came along and added to the atmosphere of the day.
Yeah.
But in the sort of normal run of the mill times, there were guitars and things at the gates, yes, and people were singing songs that they'd made up about the bass and their movement and so on.
So it was essentially a happy, united, peaceful place to be.
Wasn't always happy.
Wasn't it?
No, because they had a lot to put up with. It was difficult. It was a very, very difficult life. I mean, if you're bending over a sapling and throwing a piece of polythene over it to sleep under.
Yes, and then somebody removes it.
You're not going to get up full of the joys of spring.
No.
You're going to be aching, you're going to be wet, you're going to be cold. You know, so no, it wasn't always a happy, jolly place. It was, obviously it was as well, but
yeah.
It was also a tough place to live.
Lot of hardship.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they do any cooking in the camp, or did they rely on people to help by bringing supplies in?
I seem to remember little fires going. Yeah. Yeah, I think they did cook at the fence, at the gates. Yes.
Gosh, a lovely thing to have been part of, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, I'm always glad it's.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for you guys coming along and catching it all before, because we're all getting on a bit now.
Well, yes, I think that was one of the things we need to capture.
Yeah, before we all pop our clogs.
Well, some of us are ready to pop them anyway.
But I tell you what, we'll go out singing.
That's lovely. Okay, is there anything else you'd like me to record before we finish? Anything really special that happened while you were there? Or that has happened since, because of you being there?
Let me have a think. I think, yes, I think I've... The celebratory side of the large gatherings is something that I took forward into other protests and so on that I went to, and marches and so on. I remember that side as being very important to me, the decorating and the making a lovely banner or making a lovely decoration on the fence. I think that's carried through as well, and that's something that I've enjoyed and was glad to be part of. Yes, I'm glad to be part of just being something where women had the chance, or gave themselves the chance, to speak out for one of the first times, really. Yes, there was the suffragette movement, but you know, this was the next thing along, really.
Yes, yeah. And this was totally peaceful. Do you think the peaceful protests are more effective than the more aggressive protests?
Yes, because they don't get people's backs up. The ordinary folks don't feel that, you know, they've been appalled by what's gone on, the violence or whatever. I think the guys who protested in Stansted the airport recently, where some people were sent back.
Yes.
And those 15 people got so much support for their protest against that. And I think that's really important, to protest as in a way that is an example for how you want the world to be.
Yes.
You know, there's no justification
for aggression.
I mean, aggression against things sometimes, you know. I mean, the women did cut the fence and they did make holes in it. But as far as I know, nobody ever hurt a soldier or a policewoman or anything. Nobody attacked them or, you know, it's all...
Do you think the women that ended up in prison, were they roughly handled at the time or...?
I saw some pretty... Yes, I mean, I learnt, not through Gruening, but before that for other... I learnt ways of... making yourself a dead weight so that hard to pick up. Yes. And there is a way of grounding yourself and rooting yourself in the ground. It's actually really hard to pick somebody up who's rooted themselves like that.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I saw some very frustrated people trying to lift these very heavy women who weren't very heavy, really. It was just a magical trick. I don't know how it's done, but it works, that you can actually, as long as you just... think of yourself as being rooted into the earth. You let yourself go, and it makes you sort of six times heavier than you normally are.
It's because I always say a dead body is heavier than a live one, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know why it happens, but it's very effective and very non-violent, of course. But
yes,
you're making
very...
a bit of a fool out of the person who's
trying to lift you.
And I've seen some sweating, even quite burly policemen sweating. You know, trying
picking
to
up
these
small
little women.
Women
who've done this, who've grounded themselves.